This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bab Ali Show, Episode 18, Returning Back to Islam.
This podcast has been brought to you by HalfOurDeen.com, a Muslim marriage website designed for those who want to find their other half privately. Because the only people that should know you're looking to get married are people who are looking to get married. Try Half Our Deen today.
There are many Muslims out there who are caught up with the temptations of this dunya. For some, they're just born into the religion and Islam was never really explained correctly to them, so it's just a bunch of rituals mixed up with culture. But for others, they know Islam is the truth, but they're surrounded by the wrong crowd of people. Deep down, they know their lifestyle is wrong and they want to change, but they have no idea how to return back to Islam. This episode is dedicated to them. Let's do this.
In a world where cultural Muslims have confused the masses, and speakers are forced to be politically correct, rises one man, one voice, who changed everything.
Hey man, why are you all serious? This is just a podcast.
Let's talk about what they don't want to talk about. The Bab Ali Show.
Until the age of 20 years old, I had no idea what Islam was. A few friends and myself decided to go to an Islamic camp, and that's where we all discovered this beautiful religion. Some of us came back as Muslims, and some of us did not. One of my friends and I came back from the camp and quickly found ourselves in the path of studying this religion in detail. We were in weekly classes, surrounded ourselves with people of knowledge, and more importantly, started to transition out of the friendships that were a bad influence. Of course, this process was much more difficult than making it sound. It was definitely a challenge. Some of the others in our group also learned that Islam was the truth, but they kind of drifted away. One of those friends drifted so far away that I lost contact with them for nearly 13 years. We not only discovered each other after a long period of time, but we also discovered we took two different paths in life. My guest today is that friend. And today his life is completely different. He not only returned to Islam, but he became a famous spoken word artist that has toured around the world, entertaining large audiences with his inspiring words. When he's not performing, he's volunteering his time serving the Muslim community. He's happily married, has two children, and his name is Hossein Behzad. Welcome to the Bab Ali Show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, bro?
Alhamdulillah. How are you doing, brother?
Alhamdulillah, dude. I just had some chai. I am good to go.
So I would ask you, you know, a bunch of us went to that camp many years ago. Right. And as I said in the intro, some of us came back and it was a transition process. You know, I was wondering what was going through your mind at that camp. What do you remember from it?
You know what it was beautiful about that camp, Ali? It was the first time you saw Islam in effect. You know, like we always knew the concept of Islam is a religion of peace. It's a religion of brotherhood.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's no pride. There's no arrogance. When we were there, that was the first time we saw people like brothers from all different cultures, races, nationalities. Everyone's treating you like literally like your brother. Like, hey, so I come. And like, you and I actually were like, why are these people so nice to us? You know what I mean?
You felt so much love, didn't you?
Yeah, everyone's loving. Everyone's unifying. It came time for Salah. Everybody would line up.
What really got to me was that after all the fun activities, we actually sat down and listened to some of the lectures. And those were very motivating. But what really, really changed me was the discussions we had at the dinner table, the interactions with the different people at the camp.
Yeah, that was true. That was when we actually, like, you saw other people embrace it, talk to how much they loved Islam and how they embraced it and what they went through to get there. And you're like, wow, man, I should really be appreciative of what I have. You know, you and I were born in, you know, households where religion was never implemented on us. You know what I mean?
So exactly.
to actually hear about, you know, we watched the movie The Message. And we watched Malcolm X, you know, these movies that came out like in the early 90s and that showed Islam in a positive manner. And you're like, wow, this is awesome. But then when you actually went to these kind of camps and you saw people actually embracing it, it's like that theory was put into practice. You saw the brotherhood, you saw the love, you saw the unity, you saw the community, all that in front of you. And you're like, wow, this is awesome. And that's what I think made us both intrigued that we wanted more of it.
You know what trips me out of the kind of group we went to camp with? It was me, you, another brother who was kind of like really on the bad track. We had a girl with purple hair.
Yeah.
We had a guy from Nation of Islam. We had one guy who thought we were going to go camping.
So, yeah.
He had no idea. There's like Islamic lectures, and for him, it was like the worst camp ever. Like, dude, all you guys do is pray. You guys wake up and you pray, and then you nighttime you pray, and then we eat lunch, and then you pray, and then we take a break, and then you pray. He had a completely different experience, but for us, we came back and we saw like the light, and we're like, SubhanAllah, this is such an amazing thing. I know for me and one of the brothers, we came back from the camp, and immediately we just want to learn everything and anything about Islam, and it just took me a completely different direction than I was. How was your experience?
You know what's funny? When I came back and I told my parents and my family, like, yeah, this is the camp and I went to and all that stuff, they immediately started freaking out. You know, what do you mean you're praying? What? What did they teach you? And I'm like, what? Relax. I'm just, you know, I just learned about Islam and how we should be praying five times and, you know, all these things. Things that unfortunately, they never instilled in us, you know?
Yeah.
They just told us, you know, be a good person, you know, just get good grades, just get good grades. And that was like the main thing. As long as you got good grades, alhamdulillah, everything was good. But, you know, searching for all those years, then not having any implementation, any direction. I wish, like, right now, alhamdulillah, man, whenever Eid comes around, me and my wife, we make such a big deal at home. And we, you know, do like balloons and, you know, decorations throughout the house. I look back and I'm like, man, I wish I had this growing up. You know what I mean?
Bro, I had no idea what Eid was.
Yeah.
I didn't know what if Eid even existed. So it was like, what? And then when I learned about Islam, it wasn't like, oh, I kind of knew this stuff. Like, for example, one of the things that really, really shocked me was the relationships between men and women. I didn't know that guys and girls, like, there's like rules between men and women. Because as we're growing up, there was no rules. Everything and anything happens. You can have boyfriend, girlfriend, all that stuff is just normal. We get into this camp and we're learning that, wait a second, oh, guys and girls can't be like best friends and we can't be doing this and that together. There's no boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. What's going on? These people are crazy.
Yeah.
And then we actually start thinking about it and realizing that, what, this stuff actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the end of the day, man, everything in Islam, everything that we're taught is done for a reason. It isn't somebody made it up or something. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us better than we know ourselves. People can sit there as much as they like and say, no, man, it's all good. Everything in moderation. No, man, I know myself. I know myself. It's like, dude, Allah knows you better than you know yourself. If He created you, He knows what's best for you.
So we came back from the camp and I had a completely different experience. I went with one direction with one of the brothers. We ended up in a weekly halakha, studying Islam, studying Quran, studying everything and anything about Islam, Islamic history, just name it. And we kind of drifted apart. I don't remember very clearly what happened. Did we just lose each other's contact? Did we just like surround ourselves with different friends? And eventually, I don't know what happened. What do you remember?
You know, honestly, it wasn't like we were on bad terms or anything. It just started, no. Shaitan doesn't yell at you. He whispers, right? So everything is like little here, little there. Miss a Salah here, miss a Jummah there. Shaitan will never come to you directly and say, just give up your entire religion and just live, you know, a hedonistic lifestyle. So what happened was you and I think we were going to different schools at that time. And usually we would hang out more and often, but you know, slowly I started kicking it with this person, started kicking it with that person, and these people weren't necessarily the best influence to be around. I believe there's a hadith that said, you know, you are the religion of your closest companion. So always you have to choose wisely. Because if you have friends that are close and trying to stay focused on the deen, then if anything, they're going to catch you when you're slipping. Because none of us are perfect, right? Every day
exactly.
We have up and down days of iman. Some days we're better, some days we're not. So if we have somebody catching us like, hey man, you know, I noticed I didn't see you at Jummah. What's going on? You okay? Da, 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 you know? Somebody helping you to keep you in check without any, you know, someone forcing it down your throat. And at the same time, you know, it encourages you to strive to be better because also, A, you feel like I'm not alone. I'm not the only person. You know, it's like when I'm walking down the street and I see a sister walking wearing hijab, I might not even say anything to her, but just the fact that I see her wearing hijab and I go about my way and she goes about her way, it makes me feel good to know that, alhamdulillah, there's someone else in this world that's striving to please Allah, you know, that is trying their best. And then you feel like, okay, I'm not the only one, you know?
SubhanAllah, you're so right on that. And you know, when I came back from the camp, I was slipping for a bit. And one of the brothers who also accepted Islam from the camp, he pulled me back in. And if he wasn't there, Allahu Alam, where I would have been. And alhamdulillah, it's just like I really, really learned that surrounding myself with the right people makes a night and day difference. As you said, you surround yourself with certain people and it took you down a different path. I surround myself with different people. And even though I was about to go down the wrong path, he was there to catch me when I slipped. So what about yourself? What happened after the camp?
So what happened was basically slowly but surely, I started losing contact with you and the other brothers and I just started hanging out with a whole different crowd. And, you know, the whole time I still felt, no, man, you know, I still have my connection with Allah. I still have my connection with Allah. Basically, shaitan brainwashes you to the point that thinking that whatever you're doing is fine and, you know, just live your life the way you feel is best. You don't need Islam. You don't need any religion. You don't need anyone telling you. But if in actuality, if you look at this, if you were to do this, then everyone would be creating their own religion. Because everyone was following their own way of life, their own, you know, hedonistic style and doing whatever they want to do. What happened was I little by little started drifting away. It was so funny that I ironically one day landed on, this was the days of MySpace. So about 13 years had gone by since me and you had seen each other. And I was going through somebody's MySpace back then. And I saw this like, you know, little square of a YouTube thing. And I'm like, what is this? And I look and I'm like, this looks like Ali. So I click on it. And I click on it and I didn't know about Umma Film. I didn't know any about this stuff. Like you and I hadn't talked for like 13 years. And I click and I'm like, oh wow, it is Ali. I saw the video and just listening to you talk reminded me of what Islam was and what we both believe, what we both know was the truth. And, you know, just like when you hear a song on the radio, the minute you hear it, it reminds you of the era when you first were listening to it or whatever. And just listening to you talk about Islam reminded me of like, that was the only time in my life I had peace. Cause I had gone through like 13 years of just completely living the other life of practicing, you know, Islam. I had, you know, I was like after, you know, getting girls, getting money, getting cars. And I would think that, you know, obtaining these materialistic things would make me a better person or make me happier. You know what I mean? And you see that even people who are rich in society today, they end up committing suicide because you realize that materialism, nothing on this earth will ever replace the love for Allah. If you're not a slave of Allah, then you're a slave of something. You're a slave to your desires. You're a slave to women. You're a slave to money. At the end of the day, none of these things are going to give you true contentment unless you're devoting yourself to Allah. It's funny because it's like, it never ended. Society would tell you, you need to be in these kind of clubs. You need to be with these kind of girls. You need to be driving this kind of car. You need to be wearing these kind of clothes. And the minute I get it, I'm like, okay, fine. This is it. I got to get it. I would get this car. And as soon as I get this car, another car would come out that, you know, was better than mine. Like, oh, I got to get this one now. Or I would get with this girl. And then before I know, another girl would come and, you know, oh, I have to go after this girl. It never ended. It's like a hamster in, you know, those little wheels that are constantly spinning. And that's what society brainwashes people to believe, that if you just go after materialism and you just focus on yourself and don't worry about other people, you're going to find contentment and happiness. But it's nothing but a lie. It got to the point, Ali, I'm not kidding, where there was a time where I would look at myself in the mirror and I wouldn't recognize who I was.
SubhanAllah.
You know what I mean? Like I knew who I am and I knew Islam was the truth, but I felt that I'd gone so far away from Islam that I was like, who am I, man? Like I didn't even know who I was. I'm like, is this where I'm going to be? Is this where I'm going? You know? And I realized like I need to make a change in my life. I realized like just watching your video about Islam made me intrigued to learn more about Islam. I was like, man, you know what? Like I knew Islam was the truth. I knew when I was young, I was actually having peace and contentment. Let me see if there's other stuff on Islam that was in a positive manner. Because again, this was like 7 years ago and already the Islamophobic rhetoric was out there. So anytime like today, anytime Islam or Muslims are mentioned in the media, it's completely negative. It's completely, you know, derogatory. It's done to try to tarnish the deen, you know, and no matter how much people try to, you know, tarnish something, if it's true, if it's, you know, from Allah, it's going to, no matter what people say, it's going to, you know, prevail in the end.
So let me ask you, you came back from the camp and then you went this wrong direction. You felt empty. You felt that peace that you got at the camp and you had with Islam wasn't there anymore because you tried to replace it with materialistic things that just didn't fill the void. What made you want to return to Islam? And the reason I'm asking this is because a lot of people who are listening are probably going through what you're going through. They're born Muslims. Many of them know Islam is the truth and they're trying to transition back. And deep down, they want to do it. They know it's wrong with the lifestyle they're living. And what was going through your mind? What made you want to come back?
You know what it was, man? It came down to basically just remembering the only time in my life, the only time in my life I had true peace, true contentment was when I was practicing Islam. See, the thing is, a lot of people who are born Muslims, if you say, and you talk to them, you say like, you know, man, why don't you come to, you know, pray and, or why don't you come to Jummah? What's going on? I don't see you anymore. The mosque, what's going on? They'll tell you, you know what, man, I'm a good person, man. But at the end of the day, you don't realize you're corrupting your own heart. It's like living in this world is going to contaminate your soul, regardless of what internal beliefs you're going to strive to have. Because belief is different, just belief with action, right? We could say, I believe in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore it's okay. I can just do all these haram activities. When I get older, I'll be more religious, or I'll go to Hajj, and you know, everything will come together. Where this is straight nothing but a lie, because A, first, we know that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So we could go at any moment. So there's no guarantee. There are people lying in their graves right now wishing they had like just a second chance to come back and do one more salah. And we have that chance. We don't take it. The belief alone is nothing, right? Because if you think about it, Shaitan believes in Allah. Shaitan believes that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. Shaitan believes in the day of judgment. Shaitan believes in the angels. Shaitan believes in all these things. What's the difference between him and us, right? He's guaranteed hell. We have a chance to improve ourselves, and a lot of us just neglect it and say, it's okay, as long as I believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So again, it comes back to belief and action. And I got to the point where I'm like, I know Islam is the truth. I know what I should be doing. Nobody was putting a gun to my head saying I need to be, you know, quote unquote religious. But I felt like, you know what? If there's any a time in my life that I had peace, it was when I was practicing Islam and I'm going to slowly walk back into it. And Ali, I'm not kidding you. Allah shows you signs that you never imagined, okay? I'll give you a perfect example. One time I was with a bunch of guys, right? And we're sitting in a car and they're smoking. And at this point, I stopped smoking. I just wasn't into smoking anymore that much. But I'm like, you know what? I just want to kick it with them. Why? Because the same reason why people go to clubs and they spend, you know, ridiculous amount of money and they get intoxicated and all this stuff and they do all this stuff is only for like one reason. Why? So that on Monday morning when they go back to work or school and people say, what'd you do this weekend? They have something to say. That's it. 99% of the people who are in these clubs or who are at bars or at just these, you know, haram places, they're there only because they want to occupy a space to say they did something. But at the end of the day, everybody goes home and everyone feels the same way. They're like, oh, this is just another night. It was the same thing, the same type of people, the same crowd. And no one really walks away like, alhamdulillah, you know, I benefited. Like, take that, for example, and somebody who goes and you go to an awesome, like, Muslim convention, you're walking like, man, I learned so much. Allahu Akbar. Like, I really benefited myself. When you get involved in these haram things, they never truly benefit you. So it came to the point where I was with these guys and they were smoking and I was just sitting there and one of the guys just started coughing really loud. He's like, and he's like, sorry, man, sorry. And the other guy was trying to be funny and he's like, coffer, right? Now he's trying to be funny and saying coffer as in one who coughs. But in Islam, we know what coffer means, right? I just heard him say that and I was like, what? Like, I didn't say anything. None of the other guys in the car knew what that meant or anything. And I was like, whoa. I was like, man, that's a sign from Allah right there that this is the wrong click I'm hanging with. You know, I need to change myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, if you take one step towards Allah, Allah will take, you know, 10 steps towards you. The same thing happened when I first took that first initial step to come back to Islam. Granted, all the stuff that I knew I did was hard, but I was like, you know what? I've always believed that Allah is merciful. Allah can forgive. And if I just turn back, inshallah, he'll give me another chance. The fact that I was alive and the fact that I was breathing was proof that I had chance. And people who have this mentality, oh man, you know what? I'm too dirty to come and pray and I've done so much haram, you know, like Allah won't forgive me. This is actually like against the teachings of Islam, right? We're not allowed to lose faith in the mercy of Allah, right? And Prophet Muhammad would say like every son of Adam sins, but the best of sinners are those who repent. That basically we have to realize, you know, people in their mind, they put the Sahabas and all these people in such a high pedestal, they make them superhuman, you know? It's like, if we really study the deen and we study the history, you see that, man, they were people just like us. And they weren't like, you know, 65-year-old uncles that decided to become all religious. They were young, right? They were young. They knew the corruption in the society and they stepped back and said, no, you know what? I'm not going to be a part of this. You know, there were times where I would sit there on certain nights and I would just pull back and park my car on top of like the hill and see the entire valley. And I would see all these lights. And it would remind me of like, Prophet ﷺ, when he used to like go up in the cave just to escape from society, because you see how much corruptness there was. There was no sense of true brotherhood. There was no sense of camaraderie, of love, of compassion. Anybody that would get to know you would get to know you for a specific reason, you know? Anybody knows that. If somebody comes up to you right now and says, hey man, how you doing? You're like, what does this guy want to try to sell me? Why is he being so nice, right? But in Islam, come on, bro. There, it's like impossible to walk into a masjid and people not grant you, you know, come up to you. Assalamu alaikum, brother. How are you, brother? Mashallah. That's unity, man. You can't buy that. You know what I mean? There's no money in the world that can buy that. And when it came time to, for me to actually take that step, and I was like, you know what? I know Islam is the truth. I knew Islam back then. I had contentment and true peace. I'm going to, you know, strive for it. And I asked Allah to help me and guide me. You know what I mean? Even when I was in my bad days, I might have not prayed astaghfirullah. I might not have prayed 5 times a day, but I tried to pray at least once a lot a day, because I still felt that keeping that connection with Allah is so important. You know what I mean?
I know you accepted Islam, obviously, but did you just say, okay, I'm going to implement all my changes overnight? What did you do?
No, of course not. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual thing, you know? I started listening to more lectures, and I slowly started playing Salah more. I said, you know what? I'm going to try to do my 5 prayers a day. And that makes such a big difference, man. It makes such a big difference. You know, when Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, those who leave Salah have left Islam. And you think like, oh man, it takes so long, or how am I going to do it? I have work, I have school. Bro, it takes 5 minutes, man. It takes 5 minutes. People take 5 minutes for a cigarette break. You know what I mean? You tell me we can't take 5 minutes with you to say thank you to the creator who made you, who gave you that job. You know what I mean?
Exactly. One thing that really motivates me about your story is that each week I remember you gave up something bad.
Yeah.
And each week you took on something good. Yeah. So like, okay, I'm not going to drink anymore. And this week I'll try to at least pray once a week. And then next week it'll be, okay, I'm not going to curse anymore. And that was one of the hard ones, I remember.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to try to pray. Okay, I'll pray 5 times a day, but they're all going to be at night, Ali, because I don't have time to pray.
I remember that. I remember, yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't happen overnight. I knew that what I was supposed to be doing. I said, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I'm striving to get better and closer to Allah. So I'm going to try my best. And that's the thing, like with every, you know, Islam says every struggle eventually comes ease. Every little step that I did take, Allah made it easier for the next step and the next step. And then I was like, wow, subhanAllah, like I'd gone through a whole week of praying Salah 5 times a day and I felt so much better. I slept so much better, man. You know, I would go to bed, I'd wake up, even though you're waking up earlier to, you know, praise your Lord, the fact that you get up or that at night you go to bed, you're like, man, I get so much more peace. All the drama, all the nonsense in this society that we're fed. Because when you're with people who aren't looking out for your best interest, then they're only there to use you, guy or girl, right? And you get to the point where I was with girls that guys were telling me like, why are you with this girl, man? She's only giving you drama. And I was so dependent on just feeling that quote unquote love, because I basically replaced my love for Allah for the love of this dunya. And when you do that, that's the biggest trick to yourself, because nothing will replace what Allah can give you. You know what I mean? You'll never, ever find that kind of peace and contentment. But I took one step at a time. Like you said, there was a time where I knew I should be praying 5 times a day. And, you know, I might have not done it, you know, spread out. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it all at once at the end of the night.
Now, that's not, I remember.
You know, that's not the right way to go about it ultimately. But at the same time, it was a step. And, you know, Islam teaches us that basically everything we do, even the smallest deed, whether good or bad, it's going to be presented to us on the day of judgment. And who do we know? I mean, how do we know that what we're doing today, even the smallest deed that you think, oh man, it's not going to make a difference. How do you know it's not going to make such a huge impact on, you know, somebody else or someone else's life? That guy who posted your YouTube video on his MySpace, bro, I don't even know that guy. I never even talked to that guy. But think of that. The fact that he put that on his Facebook page, his MySpace page back then, 7 years later, alhamdulillah, I'm practicing Islam, and every good deed that I've done since I came back, he gets a piece of that. Because why? Because you just posted something up on YouTube. We never know the ramifications of our actions. But all we can do is like, you know what? You know, Allah gave me this chance. I'm going to try to just do it. Allah gave me this life. I'm going to use as much of it as I can to do good deeds. Because at the end of the day, that's what counts, man. You know, when you're 6 feet deep in the grave, I remember people used to tell me, you know, I used to be so much into my cars and rims and body kits and this and that. And people were like, hey man, nice car. And I'm like, thanks man. But then, but even that in my heart, I knew, I'm like, this car is going to do nothing for me when I'm 6 feet under the ground.
SubhanAllah.
You know, and that's the thing. You would do all these things for the same reason a guy will blast his music stereo from 3 blocks away is the same reason a girl would walk down the street wearing mini skirt. The only reason is they want attention, man. They want attention. When you deprive yourself of the love of Allah, and it's not because Allah won't give you that love, it's because you stop going to Him for love. When you deprive yourself of that, then you start looking for other avenues for love. When you leave Allah, then shaitan becomes your best friend. And he manipulates you to the point to think that, oh, it's okay. These people around me, these are the people who really care about me, who really want to be with me. They're only there with you because they don't want to be alone.
for all the listeners who are listening, my advice to you would be what really, really changed us after we realized that Islam is the truth and we want to come back to it is we surround ourselves with the right people. And if you're surrounding yourself with the wrong people and you're still in that, it's really, really hard to get out. It's kind of like being stuck in quicksand. But if you want to get out of that quicksand, as much difficult as it sounds, you have to let go of those people. Those people you call your friends and that deep down you know are messing you up and are holding you back from return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to learn to let go, and then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to replace those people with people that are better. And anything you sacrifice for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with something better. So alhamdulillah, that's what happened to me. And alhamdulillah, that's what's happened to you too, bro. Because a lot of those people that you used to hang out with, that used to push you the wrong way, they're no longer in your life right now, right?
And you know what the thing is? That was the ultimate test that if they're my true friends, they would be supportive regardless, right? Because I look back at it now, they were my friends, man. This guy was my friend just because he wanted to have a drinking buddy. This guy was my friend because he wanted to do this kind of activity. These are the only connection we have. It's like if your foundation is just haram, then what do you have? You really don't have a true brotherhood and true bond. Subhanallah, Ali, subhanallah, I'll tell you this. As soon as I accepted, like, okay, khalas, you know, I'm going to try to become a better Muslim. As soon as I accepted that, all the tests started coming. Okay?
Me too, bro.
Me too. Do you remember? Like, even I was so into my car. I was into, like, rims and body kit and all this stuff. And as soon as I accepted, Mew and I, remember, we drove from, like, one part of the valley all the way to the other, and we got in a car accident. Remember?
I remember. The airbags went off.
And right when I accepted Islam, right? And I was like, you know what? This is a sign from Allah. Normally, under any other circumstance, I would have lost my mind because my car was my world. But then I realized, you know what? This is a test from Allah. Allah is testing me to see how sincere I am going to be with Him and what's important to me, my car or Him. And I was just patient, you know? And I was patient, and alhamdulillah, Allah made it easier. And the same thing with my friends. The ones that I thought, I'm like, oh man, but these people, like, They're my true friends. You know, we've been through so much. If I, you know, start becoming religious, quote unquote, I might lose their friendship. And I was like, at the end of the day, I was like, man, you know what? Allah's done everything for me. You know, no matter what this person's done for me, everything I have is from Allah. So I'd rather focus on pleasing Allah than focus on pleasing Him. And I believe there's a hadith that says, you know, a person who strives to please Allah while people are displeased with them, Allah will make the people pleased with them as well. But if the person tries to please the people knowing that it's going to displease Allah, then, you know, they're still going to be displeased. So at the end of the day, it's like, if you're living your life for other people, you're never going to find contentment because people will always want you to be a different way, always want you to do something else. And it's a constant race. You'll never find true contentment. But when you're like, you know what? I'm doing this for my creator and I'm doing this. You walk away. Allah will put that in your heart. You walk away like, alhamdulillah. You know, like when we break our fast in Ramadan, man, although it's like crazy 13 hours of fasting and you're starving or whatever, when you break your fast, you're like, man, you can't buy that feeling, bro.
SubhanAllah, you're so right. And Ramadan's just around the corner. And SubhanAllah, as you said, a lot of people that were living last Ramadan are dead right now. And they can just wish they have another Ramadan. And for those who've gone the different path, this is an opportunity to come back, inshallah. And hopefully, inshallah, this podcast has motivated them. Hossein Behzad, I would like to ask you, because I said in the intro, you are a very, very talented brother, because when you came back, you had written lots of poetry, but then your poetry changed, like, much more Islamic, much more motivating, and you became, mashallah, this amazing guy who started touring all around the United States. It was amazing. I actually toured, for those who are listening, we actually toured together quite a bit as well. And he's amazing. And if you have not got a chance to check out Hossein's work, I strongly advise you to go check out. You're definitely missing out. Oh, Hossein, can you give us a link on where people can listen to your spoken word poetry?
Sure. You can go see all of it on spokenwords.com. That's spoken words with a Z at the end. And on there, you'll find the link to my YouTube. There's a link to my Facebook and Twitter and everything. You can find me. Follow me at Hossein Behzad, Hossein. Behizad. Same thing for finding me on Facebook. But one thing, Ali, just to wrap up, is really important.
Of course.
One thing that really brought me back, man, and I remember hearing it, was that, you know, people do so many haram things and they think, oh man, I have no hope and so forth. I remember hearing one thing in a lecture, and like, this really, really motivated me and made me say, you know what? There's still a chance. That I'm just paraphrasing, but it was something that if a person turns back to Allah and they strive to go down the straight path, then Allah will not only reward them, but all the bad deeds they did, right? If their repentance was true and they really strive to please Allah, all the bad things they did, Allah will turn those into good deeds.
SubhanAllah.
So you think like, oh man, you know, the scales are going to be so against me on the day of judgment because I know for those 13 years I did so much haram and this and that. But it's like, if it's true, right? I mean, we don't know. We put in the effort and everything is from Allah. Allah will decide. But at the same time, we have to make that effort. But if it is legit in the sense that Allah will grant it and make it all good deeds, you have nothing to lose, you know, and everything to gain. So no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're done, you know, no matter how dirty you feel, because remember, this is Shaitan's trick. Shaitan will try to make you think that you're too impure to go back to Allah, but that's only because he has no chance. We have the chance. Every day we're alive, every breath that Allah gives you, that's another chance to turn back to Allah. Until the angel of death comes, you still have a chance to go back. So if Allah has lost hope in you, why you lose hope in yourself? Right?
SubhanAllah.
That's what woke me up to the point. I'm like, you know what? Allah put me on this earth. Allah made me go through everything. And I used to, wallahi Ali, even when I was in my haram days, it was astaghfirullah wrong, right? But like once a year, especially during my birthday, right? I don't celebrate birthdays or anything like that now. But back then, every year on my birthday, I would try to go to the masjid by myself just to thank Allah for giving me another day on this earth. And I would pray to Allah and I would say, Ya Allah, please guide me to my true friends. Please guide me to my true, you know, love. Please guide me into what's right. The fact that I still tried to believe, even if that 0.55% chance of iman you have in your heart, even if you have that, if you strive onto that and you try to have Allah help you, Allah will help you, man. And you know, you knew me when I was in those 13 years, you touched base with me. If you would have told me like 3 months prior to knowing me again that Hossein, you're going to start praying again, you're going to stay away from alcohol and girls and all this stuff, I would have laughed at you. I would have probably cursed at you because I was, you know, I had a really bad mouth back then. I said even that. That's part of the reason I actually took into poetry for Islam. I'm like, Allah gave me this tongue. I used it for so much haram. I said so many bad things. Now that I'm being Muslim, I'm going to use it for good. And maybe, inshallah, that'll benefit me on the day of judgment. Allah Alam, we don't know, man. We're all human beings. None of us are perfect. None of us have a guarantee. There's no free ticket to Jannah, right? Like I said, just because you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, there's no guarantee in that. But the thing is, follow up that belief with action. Because belief by itself is nothing. It's worthless. And Shaitan's difference between us, he has no hope. Whereas we have, every day we have a chance, we have hope. We have a chance. And that's why he hates it so much. You know, one thing, a really powerful, powerful message I heard from a khatib one time. He said that Shaitan doesn't win when you sin. Shaitan wins when you believe that Allah won't forgive you for your sin. And we do so much haram day in and day out. It's like we live in an infected dunya that it's you're naturally going to get contaminated as soon as you step outside the door. But the thing is, whatever you've gone through, the fact that you still have that chance to come back is more reason to strive. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that, you know, the best way to wipe out a bad deed is to do a good deed after it. So you might do something haram and then you feel so bad and like, man, astaghfirullah, what did I do? And you feel so helpless and hopeless. And then you're like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go pray. Maybe, you know, feel better or something. And as soon as you do that, Shaitan whispers to you like, oh, you're going to go pray now? Oh, you're such a hypocrite. Look at what you just did. But at the end of the day, these are all tricks, man. He's just trying to do everything he can to take you away from Allah. Whereas Allah's door is always open. If it was really over for you, you would have been dead already. But Allah's still letting you breathe. He's still giving you a chance. He's still letting you, like, okay, maybe he'll come back. See, the thing with Shaitan, man, it's a constant battle. One day you might win, one day you might lose. The point is not necessarily thinking that, oh, I'm going to win every battle. Some battles you lose, some battles you win. The point is don't give up the war. Don't lose the war, right? Look at the bigger picture. Don't look at just one thing and say, that's it, I'm doomed. The fact that Allah gave you that chance, keep going. Keep making it better. If you stack your sins to the sky, what are you? Allah's mercy is always be greater. There's no sin in the world that Allah's mercy will not be greater than.
Don't ever lose hope. Shaitan, the biggest mistake he did is he had despair. He gave up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, on his forgiveness. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful, but some people unfortunately have given up. And I hope the listeners who are listening won't give up and will come back to and return back to Islam, inshallah.
Inshallah, man. You know, may Allah make us better. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges. All we can do is do our best, you know, make sincere repentance and ask Allah to guide us.
For those who are motivated as much as I am, who've been inspired by this episode, definitely go check out Hossein Behzad's work. You can check it at spokenwordswithaz.com. And with that, I want to thank all my listeners who've been listening to this episode and for this podcast. You guys have been amazing. And you guys have been listening and listening and been telling others to listen because these numbers have grown. SubhanAllah. And now I just ask you guys to please go to my iTunes and leave a positive review, inshallah, so others can discover it. JazakAllah khair
for my guest, Hossein Behzad, for being part of this podcast because he is a listener as well. And I'd like to thank all my listeners for listening to this episode and staying all the way to the end. This podcast was a little bit longer, but it was also a little bit more special. This is Baba Ali reminding you, just in case you forgot, go to BabaAliShow.com. Leave me a comment. I'll see you guys later. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Baba Ali Show.